resume talks with North Korea. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo inviting North Korea's foreign minister to meet with him in New York next week to discuss ending the North's nuclear weapons program by January of 2021. A man who was to appear in court for strangling his wife pulls a gun and starts shooting in a Pennsylvania magistrate's office. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
Authorities say a swift response by law enforcement officials has quickly defused a shooting at a municipal building in Masontown, Pennsylvania. State Police Lieutenant Steve Dellen says four people were wounded, including one of their officers, before the gunman was fatally shot by police.
We can confirm that the district judge nor any of members of his staff were a target of this gunman.
I'm Wendy King.
A new poll shows Democrat Andrew Gillum leading Republican Ron DeSantis in the race for Florida governor 50% to 44. And this is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
The largest wildfire in California history is finally contained. The Forest Service says the Mendocino Complex fire in Northern California reached 100% containment yesterday after charring nearly 460,000 acres in four counties and destroying nearly 300 buildings, killing a firefighter, leaving four others hurt. The fire danger is not over, though. Officials are warning of dangerous fire conditions in parts of the Central Valley today, as well as other counties in Northern California, where a red flag warning is still in effect because of gusty winds. There are reports Amazon is moving to open 3,000 of its no-cashier Amazon Go stores by 2021. Bloomberg News calls it Amazon's most aggressive move yet into brick-and-mortar retail stores since it bought Whole Foods in 2016. The online retail giant opening its first Go store in Seattle less than 2 years ago. The stores use sensors and lightweight automation software so people can shop and check out without having to deal with a clerk or payment kiosk. And the Allman Brothers Band guitarist Dickie Betts is hospitalized in critical condition after a fall at his home in Florida. The Sarasota Herald Tribune says the 74-year-old fell and cracked his head while playing with his dog in his backyard on Monday. Find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success. This is America's program that introduces you firsthand to our country's outstanding entrepreneurs, CEOs, and members of the Forbes 400 list, and where they share with you their personal journeys of overcoming obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and I thank you for sharing part of your day with us. The story of today's guest is one of two completely different paths taken, and yet accomplishing extraordinary successes in each. In his earlier years, Eric Eisner lived the life of an entertainment business mogul, responsible partly for the careers of legends such as Elton John, Guns N' Roses, Tom Cruise, and Aerosmith. And at the peak of it all, Eric Eisner seemed to have an epiphany and did a complete 180. Eric was quoted in the Wall Street Journal as saying, "I realize I had never, ever, ever done anything for anyone in my life. If there was no money in it, count me out." Well, it looks like Eric Eisner is making up for lost time, folks. As the winner of the Wall Street Journal's 2012 Innovator of the Year Award, Eric and the Young Eisner Scholars Organization is literally pulling kids out of the most impoverished neighborhoods in America and supporting them and guiding them all the way to some of the most prestigious schools in the world, including Harvard, Yale, Stanford, and others. He even has one of the students who is an intern at the White House. And he's literally given these students a brand new life they never would have had. Okay, let's find out more about this unorthodox and intriguing life of Eric Eisner. Eric, welcome to Legends of Success.
Thank you, John. Happy to be here.
Well, we've been looking forward to having you on for a long time. I first read your story. You know, when Jerry Lewis was with us, he made an astute observation. He said, you know, in great stories, you've got to have some contrast somewhere to get people's attention. And I guess your life has just gone from one end to the other. You've really lived the dream of some people would love to have.
Well, I consider myself the luckiest guy in the world.
And why is that?
Just exactly what you said. I've had an opportunity to do so much. My life has given me so many, such a wide variety of opportunities to explore, and I'm just very grateful for it.
Well, you have had some life, and it's amazing to think where you started, which we'll get into in a second, and the path you took. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of students that listen to this show. There are people starting out in business, people who've been in business, and they struggle, and they look for answers and wisdom from our guest. And, boy, you've got a lot to share. But, you know, I've alluded, you've rubbed elbows with the who's who of the world. You've done a lot. But take us back to the beginning, because so many people can relate probably. Of you started out not in an ordinary city, but pretty much an ordinary guy growing up. Tell us where you were born and what was life like growing up, Eric?
Well, I grew up in New York City, and I was very fortunate to be living in a very creative, unusual neighborhood in New York, Greenwich Village, back in the 50s. Post-war America was a fascinating place, and maybe Greenwich Village was the epicenter of a lot of the creative energy in post-war America. It was sort of the scene of a great art revolution, but certainly the epicenter of the music revolution in America in the late 50s and early 60s. And so I was exposed to all of that at a very young age by good fortune.
Growing up, what were your parents like? Were they entrepreneurs? What did they do?
They were fairly ordinary people. My mother came from a prominent family in New York, and she was well-educated and an aspiring playwright. My father, a kind of typical immigrant background. His parents had started a lighting fixture business down on the Bowery in New York, not far from where the famous Bowery Hotel is now. Back in those days, that area was the wholesale lighting district. And their business goes back to the gas lamp days. The name of the business was the New York Gas Lighting, so they made the transition into electricity. And I used to work there on Sundays. So, not terribly unusual New Yorkers in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Were they good mentors growing up, or were they pretty busy? You know, I think you made a comment once in one of our conversations. You said, we kind of raised ourselves, you and your brothers and siblings.
Well, I was the youngest of four boys. Mm-hmm. And so, looking back, I sort of feel like I grew up in a pack of wolves. My parents had, as the youngest, my parents had minimal influence or involvement in my life because my older brothers, the glamour and glory of my older brothers just blinded me to any interest in my parents.
Wow. So I
kind of grew up with very little parental guidance.
Mm-hmm. And you got to rub elbows as a kid in Greenwich Village with some pretty famous people, didn't you, Eric?
I did. I mean, Greenwich Village in the late 50s and early 60s was the sort of folk music center of America and maybe the world. And so I was best friends with the children of Woody Guthrie and, met Bob Dylan before he even recorded a record when he first came to New York looking to find Woody Guthrie.
Oh, wow.
My girlfriend's mother was in the Martha Graham Company. So between music and dance, I was a pretty lucky kid in terms of having a chance to absorb a lot of interest in culture in New York back in those days.
Interesting. And hanging out in the music business and that wonderful culture, I mean, it's really a blessed culture as a kid. I mean, it's a dream for a kid. How did you do student-wise? Were you a good student, or did you have trouble studying because you're having so much fun down in the village?
The adjective that comes to mind, John, sooner than good, would be compulsive.
Yeah.
I had to get an A in every subject, whether it was meaningful or not. So I was a pretty compulsive student, I'd say. Certainly not the smartest, but definitely the most determined.
Call yourself a little neurotic?
I think you're being kind.
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, because when we look back at the traits, and this is especially for the kids out there, young students and entrepreneurs. I remember John Paul DeJoria, who you know out in Los Angeles from John Paul Mitchell Systems.
Sure.
He had the same traits. You're sharing same traits that I reflect with him. And he says, you know, John, even when I was a janitor, if I had to scrub those floors, they were going to be the best scrubbed floors. He said he was neurotic. And isn't it true, Eric, that no matter what you do in life, I mean, you really hit the top as a mogul, but even in the most minor things in life compared to what you've accomplished, didn't you have to be the best at it?
I think you're right. I think that you bring yourself to whatever you do. I've watched guys that are singularly impressive guys in circumstances that have nothing to do, apparently, with their expertise. And give them 5 minutes, and they get the joke faster than anybody.
Yeah.
And I'm not counting myself among them, but I will agree with you that I felt that whatever you do, just do it as well as you can, or to put it another way, whatever you do, win. Figure out how to do it best. Figure out how to win at what you're doing. And I often laugh at myself when I observe the same kind of energy and compulsiveness in doing something in the nonprofit world that motivated me or was my MO in the money-making world. I mean, it's we're the same creatures.
Sure, sure. And it's interesting. So again, what Eric's reiterating, folks, especially our young listeners out there, is that no matter what the task is, if you don't see value in the task, find value in the process of accomplishing the task. That is building your internal drive, your fortitude, and that's what's going to make you great. Ladies and gentlemen, we are honored today to have our friend Eric Eisner. He is the founder and CEO of Yes Scholars, just an amazing organization helping out impoverished students get out of the barrio and become successful. And the retired president will find out more from the David Geffen Companies. I'm John Resnick, and you're listening to Legends of Success.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. Plus, as an added bonus, our retirement income kit, packed full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
And we are back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We're just so happy to have Eric Eisner with us. Eric has had an intriguing career. He's really had two stories in one, actually more than that. But when you look at this man's career, when he started out as a young kid, we just talked about hanging out in Greenwich Village, meeting people like, what, Stephen Stills and Bob Dylan, before they were famous, and always being compulsive. He calls himself OCD. He's always driven to whatever he did. He had to be the best. And, Eric, I like the fact that in the last segment you said, I was never the smartest person in the room. That means a lot. I mean, that's humble because you're probably like me. You're probably always jealous of the kids that it came easy to. We had to work so hard to accomplish what we had to just to get an A, right?
Well, I wasn't jealous of them as much as I was fascinated by them. They served me well because when you're not the smartest in the room, you better be the most observant. And if you're going to be observant, you might as well fix your attention on those kinds of people and learn as much from them as you can. But they inspired me, and they fascinated me, and they were often my best friends.
Yeah, I think you said once in one of our conversations before, Eric, is that you like to study how they learned. Am I correct?
Well, it certainly fascinated me how their minds worked and how easily concepts came to them. Knowing that I had to be I had to work harder than they did, I think also served me well because it forced me to be very observational.
Well, for a hard worker, my records tell me about your college here. And why don't you tell the folks for working hard to get your A's, you did pretty well when you got out of high school. Tell us about the schools you went to, Eric.
When I finished high school, I was living in New York and working in the city. And so I was not motivated to leave New York, as most kids are. So I wound up going to Columbia, which was a fascinating place to attend college. This would be, you know, from 1966 to 1970. So it was smack in the middle of all the Vietnam War protests and the school disruptions and the political agitation. And Columbia, as many know, was the hotbed of all of that. So it was a really interesting time, a provocative time and enlightening time to be at college. The war was raging. I didn't want to come back to America in a body bag, and I stayed in school and wound up going to law school also at Columbia. So I was in the city from elementary school right through law school.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Yeah, but you didn't graduate at the bottom of the class. My records that I dug up, you worked hard. You graduated at the top of your class in both of those schools.
Yeah, I was, as already noted, I was a hardworking, determined student and also interested in school. I mean, whatever I wound up doing in my life, John, it always seemed at the time this was the most interesting thing that anybody could be doing. When I went to college, I thought, what could be more interesting than this? Same at law school, pretty much the same at everything I've ever done. Now, looking back, I don't necessarily think of all of those opportunities as the most fascinating. But I think that you're lucky if you can throw yourself into what you do and say, wow, what a fantastic opportunity this is.
And at that at the time, they were the most fascinating things in your life because you realized, obviously, that each level you were getting higher and higher by greater education and more drive that you had.
Well, you know, not every kid thinks he's going to become a college professor just because he's in college.
Right.
Not every person thinks they're going to become a lawyer just because they go to law school. But I was one of those kids that whatever I was doing, wow, this is exactly what you want to do with your life. And I think that that's advantageous because you wind up getting the most out of it, even if you wind up changing your mind later down the road.
Well, somehow you were in New York. You ended up in L.A. I think you had a number of law firms that were either courting you. I'm graduating at the top of your class at Columbia Law School probably put you on a target list. Am I right?
Yeah, the Los Angeles law firms, now this goes back to, 1973, the East Coast law schools, the Ivy League law schools, had a lot of prestige, and they still do now, but they certainly did then. And so if you were coming out of of one of the prestigious East Coast law schools, whether it was Harvard or Columbia or Yale, you had a lot of cachet for the L.A. law firms. They were anxious to hire you, and I had good grades. So, yeah, I wound up getting hired by what was then the best entertainment law firm in L.A. or probably the country.
Ziffrin, Brittenham, and Branca.
No, that's an offshoot of it. We created that. The firm that I got hired by back in 73 was called Kaplan Livingston.
Oh, right.
And they were just the boutique entertainment firm at the time.
And Eric, you initially weren't going out to be an entertainment lawyer, were you? Wasn't that just on a whim or a temporary basis?
I literally went to California for 1 year for no other purpose than to get away from New York for a year, to give myself at least the illusion that I was making a choice to become a New Yorker. I had a job in New York at a wonderful firm that I had clerked for while I was in law school, but I had this instinct that you got to get away from wherever you've been brought up in order to make some kind of choice about where you want to live in the world. And that year away turned into, let's see, about 40 years.
Well, you know, it's interesting. That's a lesson. I used to work closely with the co-founders at the Wharton Family Business Program. And one of the things that we try to encourage students to do or next generations coming into family business is to leave. Before you start, get out. Go away. Get your own stripes. Get your own experience so you can bring something back and contribute.
Well, this issue often comes up in the YES program because the vast majority of the very promising kids that we work with who wind up getting courted by the best colleges in America face a choice about whether to go back east to a Harvard or a Columbia or whether to stay here and go to a UCLA. Hmm. And you can imagine that the parents of these kids who are, you know, very, very low-income parents and very unfamiliar with the world, very unsophisticated people by and large, they're very reluctant to have their kids go 3,000 miles away to a place they've never been or oftentimes never even heard of, particularly since these kids are part of the solution in their family. These are kids that babysit. These are kids who work for the father over the weekend. And it's often a battle to convince these parents to let their kids travel for college and get away from home.
Yeah, that's incredible, especially since there could be second, third-generation people never been more than 5 miles out of the neighborhood. But I do want to get into that a lot on the second part of this program. I find that intriguing. And what Eric's alluding to here, we're going to talk about a lot in the show, folks, is that, you know, after Eric's first career, which we're starting to get into now, he turned it all around. He said in the Wall Street Journal, I think the Huffington Post, he said he realized he never did anything ever for anyone else except himself and turned his whole life around. Now he gives everything of himself to others, and that is the Yes Organization, just an amazing organization helping kids out. But I wanted to cover again, so when you first got to L.A., Eric, were you intrigued by the music business? I mean, obviously you had to be because you stayed and worked pretty good, but when you were at Kaplan Livingston, I think you got a chance to meet people like Norman Lear and other icons, didn't you?
Well, I was working in the music business when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had met a lot of people and made a lot of friends among the world of kids that, you know, went on to become successful in the music business. And I had loved music all my life. So when I came out to L.A. and was working at this wonderful law firm that basically its clientele was the cream of the crop of the movie and television business.
Sure.
Again, fortune smiled my way because a lot of these kids that I had grown up playing in the nightclubs and the coffee houses in Greenwich Village were now recording artists and rock and roll stars. And so they were happy to have someone they could hang out with as their lawyer. I think that they were more concerned with whether they could hang with their lawyer than whether their lawyer knew anything about the law. And so they wound up flocking to me to some extent. And as a result of that, I sort of fell very fortunately into the music business.
That had to be a differentiator for you because I imagine there were, at that time, for the young kids, there were a lot of gray hairs, and you're a young guy coming out, and you've already known them and knew them, but and now you had the best of both worlds.
Well, also, the firm was such a wonderful firm that I think,
sure.
You know, they were very, you know, when you're a young rock and roll star and you walk into a law firm and it's beautifully appointed and it represents the cream of the crop of the movie stars in town, you know, that's that's pretty glamorous for them.
Incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, we're visiting with Eric Eisner today. You're listening to Legends of Success.
Missed part of this week's great Legends of Success interview? No problem. You can hear each week's show online on our website at legendsofsuccess.com. We responded to your calls and emails and now post each week's show for you to listen to free of charge at legendsofsuccess.com. Every week, a great guest to listen to, learn from, and enjoy at your convenience. Look for the link right on the main page at legendsofsuccess.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The California woman who's accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of assaulting her when they were teenagers wants the FBI to look into her allegation before a hearing is held on it by the Senate Judiciary Panel. Senator Doug Jones, among the Democrats accusing Republicans of rushing the process, especially in the wake of the new allegations.
If we're just going to be her statement without being tested ahead of time or looking at the facts and Judge Kavanaugh's, that hearing could devolve into just nothing but theatrics.
Committee Chairman Republican Chuck Grassley said it's the hearing they've scheduled for Monday on the new allegation or nothing. Several rivers in North Carolina expected to reach major flood stages today because of Hurricane Florence. President Trump visiting some of the devastated area yesterday. At least 35 people were killed by the storm. This is USA Radio News.
I've been telling you for a year how great MyPillow is. Well, guess what? There's a great deal on MyPillow.com. You can get four pillows for about the price of one MyPillow. Click on the four-pack special when you go to MyPillow.com. Enter promo code USA. You'll get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows, perfect for travel, for half off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the four-pack special, enter promo code USA, but do it now.
This flu season, one Walgreens flu shot can make a world of difference. So you can protect yourself and also your close-talking coworkers, high-fiving neighbors, two-month-old niece. That's why Walgreens has specially trained pharmacists that have provided over 60 million flu shots since 2010. Stop by for your flu shot today with a $0 copay with most insurance. Because protecting the world starts with protecting yours. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
Compelling and inspiring stories told firsthand by the legends themselves. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We are really hearing a fascinating life of Eric Eisner, a young kid that grew up in Greenwich Village, hanging out with people like Stephen Stills and Bob Dylan before they were anybody. When I say anybody, they were not famous. They had no record deals. He worked hard. He's, by his own admission, was OCD, put himself right through college and law school, hit the West Coast, got an offer from one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, law firm in the entertainment business, Kaplan Livingston at the time. And you were rubbing elbows with some pretty famous people as a young guy there. You're 25 years old. You hit L.A. All this is happening. But eventually, wasn't it A&M Records try to recruit you, a guy named Kip Cohen?
Yeah, Kip Cohen was the head of A&R, which is sort of the creative department of any record company.
Mm-hmm.
And I had represented a couple of bands that he had signed. And he got it in his head that I would be the right guy to come over to A&M Records and sort of run their business affairs. And so he approached me and offered me that job. He asked me if I would meet with the guy who was their top lawyer, and a guy by the name of Abe Sommer.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself having lunch with Abe Sommer. And to my surprise, instead of convincing me to take the job at A&M, Abe Sommer wound up convincing me to come work at his law firm, which I did for a stint.
So you're speaking with Abe Sommer. Obviously, he recruits you, and I believe that firm is Mitchell, Silverberg, and Knupp, another powerhouse. Am I correct?
Well, they as law firms go, they own the music business. I mean, they were the number one, two, and three most important law firm in the world back then in the music business. They represented many record companies. They represented all the big acts. So I got a terrific education working there.
What a dream. And I believe Abe Sommer himself was around 1974 signed the most lucrative record deal in history with the Rolling Stones.
Very well may have been the case.
Yeah.
I know that we did represent the Rolling Stones, and Abe was handling their deal. I remember being a younger lawyer assigned the task of making the deal for Ronnie Wood to join the Rolling Stones.
Oh, I know, Woody.
So,
wow.
So you're bringing back some interesting memories of those days.
That's funny. I just saw Ron Wood three trips ago when I was out in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, you had, around 1980, you go to lunch with somebody else who tries to recruit you, a very well-known major mogul, and that man was?
I'm sure you're referring to David Geffen.
Yeah, that's correct. Tell us what happened.
Probably the consensus smartest guy that ever hit the entertainment business. Yeah, David Geffen had been very successful in the music business. He had created Asylum Records. He had discovered Lauren Nero, Jackson Browne, the Eagles. And he was now, after a short retirement at an early age, he was coming back into the business to have his big hurrah. And he decided that I was the guy to be the president of his company.
Wow.
So, yes, lunch we had.
and starting out, my notes tell me, my research says you guys were like the first two employees of the business. That was it.
No, David had a secretary.
Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
There was, I think there was one employee already, one or two A&R people, at least one. Carol Childs, I remember, was already there.
John Kolodner.
But it was, a very embryonic organization that wound up becoming enormously successful.
That was amazing. I mean, and the A&R department had to be the most powerful. I hope I'm not boring people because they may not know these names, but Carol Childs, John David Kolodner, Tom Zutat, and they brought in people like Aerosmith and...
Yeah, John and Tom were fascinating, idiosyncratic creatures. And so if you wanted examples of people who were utterly devoted to what they did, mm-hmm. those two guys would be among the very best examples. Tom signed Guns N' Roses, John signed Aerosmith, and the two of them were just fantastic pieces of young manpower.
Yeah, but what's incredible about, I'm not trying to patronize you here, everyone says I do in my guest anyway, but I mean, here's Eric Eisner sitting at the top of all of this, because everybody, you were the president of the David Geffen Company.
Well, don't forget, it was the David Geffen Company, and that's the smartest guy there is. And,
right.
As much as I learned working at Mitchell, Silverberg and Knopp, it pales in comparison to how much I learned working with David. I was in charge of everything that David wasn't paying attention to. But if David was paying attention to something, boy, it didn't need anybody else to be watching the store.
Yeah, absolutely. What an incredible guy. I think the most recent Forbes has him up around $5 or $6 billion now. I mean, one of the most, probably the most incredible guy in the entertainment world.
Certainly the smartest.
Most successful. Yeah, definitely the smartest. But so you were involved now also. So you had these tremendously successful music acts, but you personally, I was told, Eric, were responsible for breaking Tom Cruise's career with
well, that. I mean, the music business at the time, John, was the cash cow. Mm-hmm. Nothing could, there was no opportunity to make more money with less capital investment than the record business then.
Right.
The film business had the glamour, but nowhere near the profit upside for us. As the record company did. So with that in mind, David gave me much more autonomy in the film business. David was not that interested in the film business for all the right reasons, because David very rarely gets distracted by glamour in that sense. He assigned me the task of building this little film company, and I got really lucky when a friend of mine brought me a screenplay called Risky Business.
Wow.
And I think that's what you're alluding to, because
yes.
The director of the movie kept coming in with casting choices for the lead role, because, of course, like any film company, we had approval over the principal actor. And he kept coming in with people who we knew were just not right for the part. And then he was so frustrated with us, he was convinced we were trying to get out of the movie. But finally, he came in with a screen test of this kid, Tom Cruise, and the minute we looked at him, we went, oh, my God, that's the kid. That's the kid.
And
you could say that Risky Business, you know, it was a very, very instrumental moment in Tom Cruise's career. You know, I'm not going to say he wouldn't have been successful without it, but it certainly launched his career at the time.
That was a launch pad. And wasn't there a private screening before this broke in, like, San Diego or somewhere, and the girls went nuts or something?
We just thought he looked perfect for the part, but
right.
When we screened the movie in San Diego, when they showed his name in the front titles of the movie, the girls in the audience started screaming. I remember David and I looked at each other and said, wow, we really fell on something here.
What a great story. Folks, I hate to take a break. We got to pay some bills. We're going to be back with more of Eric Eisner and his fascinating life story. You're listening to Legends of Success.
Shouldn't your home be your own? Custom? One of a kind? Introducing Custom Fabric Design, exclusively from Budget Blinds. Now you're the designer. We'll help you pick a pattern that matches your style perfectly. Next, choose from every color in the rainbow. Then take your pick of 6 luxurious fabrics. Now we do the rest. Budget Blinds will turn your design into beautiful custom drapes and pillows just for you. That's custom fabric design, only from Budget Blinds. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. See for yourself. Call for a free consultation right at home. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS or go to budgetblinds.com. This is yours alone for your one-of-a-kind home. So call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Now, back to the Legends of Success. Once again, here's John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success with Eric Eisner, the retired president of the David Geffen Companies. Eric, 1980 must have been an emotional roller coaster with the signing of John Lennon and then the December 1980 tragic loss of John Lennon.
John Lennon was such a provocative character in his immediate post-Beatle years. Certainly didn't have the same leverage in the music business that he did with the Beatles. David was intrigued by him when the opportunity came to sign John to a solo record deal. I think John was equally intrigued with David. Very early on, we signed John Lennon and recorded that famous album that was being released at the time that he got shot in front of the Dakota, famous Dakota apartment house in New York, well documented in the iconic photograph of David leading Yoko Ono out of the hospital when she was informed that John had died.
Well, you had a 10-year run. 1990 came along, and you guys cashed in pretty big. You sold out for an enormous amount of money. I guess, was it to MCA?
Yeah.
MCA Records. And you're sitting there at the peak of your life saying, I realize I never did anything for anyone else in my life. And somehow, some way, your life did a complete 180, where now you do everything for others. Tell us what happened. What was that catalyst? What happened, Eric?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, I don't think people turn on a dime. I was able to retire at a reasonably early age, and one of the collateral benefits of retiring is you kind of get to know your kids who you've been ignoring while you're busy making a career. When I thought about this whole challenge of being a father and, you know, playing a positive role or an influential role in these kids' lives, I realized I really didn't have much training for it. So when somebody came to me at a charity event and said, could you help us? We have this organization that works in the in one of the worst barrios of Los Angeles, you know, helping families and people. I thought, well, that what an intriguing idea to actually do something for other people that doesn't involve, you know, making money. And I thought, what could I do for you? And they said, well, what would you be interested in doing? And I thought, well, it wouldn't be a bad idea to meet some of the smartest, brightest, interesting kids in these neighborhoods and learn a little bit about what kids are thinking about, because it's probably going to be easier to talk to those kids than your own. And so that's how it all began 15 years ago, just my interest in getting some notion about maybe how to becoming a better father.
You're listening to Legends of Success.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. Plus, as an added bonus, our retirement income kit, packed full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, this is Ethan Resnick, and you're listening to Legends of Success.
We're back with Eric Eisner, a man who had it all, and now is doing it all for others, helping children in schools in some of the poorest, toughest, and worst sections of Los Angeles. The neighborhood, the first neighborhood that Eric went into is called Lenox. And if you remember the L.A. riots, when a young man by the name of Reginald Denny had his tractor trailer pulled over at an intersection of Florence and Normandy and got smashed in the head with a brick. Everybody remembers that. Lenox is not too far from that intersection, is it, Eric?
Not at all. In fact, one of the schools we work in now is literally right there.
How in the world is a guy coming from your background, white bread, privileged, hanging out with billionaires and famous people go into the heart of the burial? I mean, were you scared? What was it like? How did you do it?
I think I was more oblivious than anything else. I remember laughing now. After about a year of working with these kids at their during school hours in the ghetto in Lenox, one parent needed to have a meeting with me. And they, of course, oftentimes these parents have two and three jobs, so they couldn't get in until after 6 o'clock. So I told this, I asked the school whether we could keep our offices open at the school long enough for me to meet with this parent. And this wonderful guy who was kind of watching out for me at the school, he looked at me and he said, "You're not going to be here after dark, so forget about it." And I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "What you see here in the daytime, that's a different world after dark, and you're not going to be here." So I got a little bit of an awakening about the world that I was in. But to be honest with you, John, during the daytime, these are beautiful areas. These are beautiful neighborhoods with beautiful communities. Of course, I don't see the role that the gangs play in these communities because, I'm working at the schools. They're very tough areas. These kids can't go out at night. But during the daytime, they're thriving, beautiful communities.
How many kids? I'm coming up with things like the schools you're going into, 60-70% of the people there are below the poverty line. The dropout rate, the rate of kids who do not graduate is as high as 75%. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. The first school we went into, that district had no high school. And so on top of the normal, let's call it 65-70% dropout rate that socioeconomic group in L.A. experienced, they had an even higher dropout rate because their kids had to cross gang lines to go to the high school that they had been assigned to. So that community couldn't wait for us to come in and help them.
That's incredible. And folks, I want to give you a website. It's called yesscholars.org, YESSCHOLARS.org. And Eric Eisner is the founder of YES, which stands for Young Eisner Scholars. Eric, I'll brag for you a little bit. I know it's not only your time that you go in and you teach. You've given your money. You've bought kids' shoes. You've taken them to the doctor. I know that some of these kids call you at home when they need you. You are like a third parent to them, and you've marshaled a lot of your connections to pull together and to help these kids out. It's absolutely commendable.
It's wonderful, isn't it, John, when you have no vision for your life, but all of a sudden you can look back and see how you have woven your way through so many different wonderful experiences and people that you can sort of harness together and bring to the advantage of these really hardworking, deserving kids. It's just it's slightly miraculous, and I pinch myself that I have the opportunity to bring them these opportunities once they prove themselves worthy of it and they earn it.
Well, I told you, when I get back to L.A., I missed you this last time. My friend ended up in the hospital. I want to come down and see you teach and go down to Lenox with you, but we're going to get you together with our friend Jean-Paul DeJoria, who is a neighbor of yours. It's funny how you guys never even really met, but you're so close to each other. I want to try to get you people to try to help you out as well. By the way, if somebody is listening, how could they find out more? How can they help support this effort? Because, folks, it doesn't get any better than this. Everybody complains about the gangs and all the all the crime statistics. Here's a man that's literally reaching in and doing something about it. How can people help you if they have an interest, Eric?
Well, John, they certainly can go to the website that you made reference to. It's not up to today's date, but it's pretty recent. It's pretty current. I think they can get a lot of insight into what we do and how we do it. And they can also, I believe, make donations through the website. I think it gives some instructions about how to do that. And just so everyone in your audience understands, college is very expensive these days. We got a kid in law school from our program now. The tab at law school is $82,000, and the tab at college is $65,000. And these kids are wonderful, promising kids who do very well at school, and they win financial aid packages and scholarships. But rarely do these scholarships cover all of the costs. And if there's $10,000 left over, it might as well be $10 million for these families, because the average YES family makes under $30,000 a year. So the money that you give us goes to supplemental college tuition so that these kids can actually take advantage when they get a scholarship to a Michigan or an NYU. We give them the ability to actually take that scholarship and make it work. So that's where your money goes, and we can use it because these schools or college is so expensive these days.
Well, and I'll tell you, on this website, folks, there are some stories, some actual videos of kids, and it shows what they've been through. If it doesn't bring tears to your eyes, then you're not human. I mean, these are really moving, powerful stories. And you know, Eric, you're doing something about it. I applaud you so much for doing this.
Thank you, John.
Right now, I've got young students out there. I've got young entrepreneurs, people struggling, Eric, to just bust through another day. Reach into your heart. What advice and wisdom can you give them that can just help them bust through the way some of these other impoverished kids are and how you're helping the others?
What I will say is this. This is the best thing about America is that if you are willing to work hard at school, there's somebody out there who can help you. America still is the best country in the world when it comes to recognizing that kids who are battle-tested and willing to work hard and deserve it can get some help with their education. And so believe in yourself and find out what opportunities are there, because there are opportunities.
I love it. Well, Eric, we are going to have to bring you back sometime. I look forward to spending time with you in Los Angeles, of course.
I look forward to it as well, John.
Okay, folks, we're out of time. Thank you for being with us, and special thanks to our producer, Michael Parks, Ethan Resnick from Guest Relations, Preston Resnick, Director of Communications, and the intelligent and beautiful Billy Resnick. You've been listening to Legends of Success, the most original success stories in America. I'm John Resnick. We'll see you next week.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We've seen all the pictures where houses are literally covered beyond the roof. You don't even know there's a house there.
Now President Trump has seen the devastation in person, visiting parts of North and South Carolina yesterday, which were devastated by Hurricane Florence, and the flooding continues.
Some of the flooding is actually epic, hard to believe.
The president saying the federal government started early with storm preparation and will be staying late to make sure that everything gets done. A lawyer for the woman who accuses Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault says there's no need to rush to a hearing. However, Republicans have scheduled a hearing on Monday to address Christine Blasey Ford's claim that Kavanaugh held her down and groped her when they were teenagers. And Republicans say it's either that hearing on Monday or nothing. And this is USA Radio News.
I just can't stop scratching. Struggling to get relief from itching due to your atopic dermatitis, also known as eczema? If so, you may qualify for a clinical study testing an investigational medication for the itch associated with atopic dermatitis. Qualified participants will receive study-related care at no charge. Call 1-844-777-4824, 1-844-777-ITCH, or visit advandastudy.com for more information on how to participate. Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
Refreshingly crisp days and cool nights. Our favorite time of year is here. At thecompanystore.com, our thoughts are turning to the comforts of home, like soft flannel sheets, lofty down comforters, fluffy towels, and cozy sleepwear. And with thecompanystore.com friends and family event going on now, you enjoy free shipping and 25% off your next order. There's no better time to shop. Visit thecompanystore.com and enter FAMILY18 at checkout for 25% off, plus free shipping from our family to yours. The CompanyStore.com.
The State Department says terrorists killed fewer people last year. The State Department report saying deaths from terrorists fell by 27%, attacks down 23% as compared to 2016. A woman convicted of helping to kidnap Elizabeth Smart was released from prison yesterday and placed at a hotel in South Salt Lake, Utah. But Wanda Barzee's new neighbors aren't too happy she's there. This woman saying she ran into Barzee at the South Salt Lake Hotel and didn't realize at first who she was.
I remember her face because I smile. I always smile at everyone around here. They're all homeless. And I said, hi, not realizing it was her, though.
That woman saying she may move out of the complex if Barzee stays for too long. Barzee's on supervised probation and could be sent back to prison if she fails to follow conditions of her release. Tom Selleck is leaving the National Rifle Association Board of Directors, the actor stepping down because of a busy work schedule. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A new poll finding Democrat Andrew Gillum leading in the race for governor of Florida. A survey of likely voters by Reuters, Ipsos, and the University of Virginia Center for Politics, giving the Tallahassee mayor 50% support as compared to 44% for Republican Ron DeSantis. Gillum is ahead of DeSantis also among independents by a wide margin, 61% to 21%. A newly promoted naval officer and mother of three found dead in Jacksonville, Florida, on the same day she was to get a restraining order on her boyfriend. USA Radio's Wendy King has that story.
Chief Petty Officer Andrea Washington was found dead just after midnight. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office is treating the case as a suspected